Well, it's very late, and I am in a campground in just over the border in Ohio from Pennsylvania at a state park called, I think, Mosquito Lake. And I didn't realize they had camping, and I was going to go even further southwest into the state at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, this evening, and ended up seeing a sign that said camping, Mosquito Lake. And so I came around, and I pulled in and got a site, and I'm here. And it's very late, and I thought I'm going to do a quick easy talker, because I haven't done one of those for a while. Time to integrate some of the things that have been happening to me and some of the things I've been doing as I have made this fabulous eastern loop coming all the way across the top of the country and then down to Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and now headed west again. So we'll talk about that in podcast 1011, the Bob Davis Podcasts. With fuel prices going up to some degree, you should be very happy to welcome an independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station into your life. And there is one in Minneapolis. It's at 36th and Lindale Avenue in South Minneapolis in the Lynn Lake neighborhood. They have a great store. And not only are the guys at 36th and Lynn refueling out to help the community, they also feature a great selection of some awesome products in the store. And remember, they can pass the savings on to you because they're independently owned and operated, and that's so important these days with fuel prices going up. Remember, 36 and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis, you need a gas or a cup of coffee in South Minneapolis. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check out their great Instagram feed at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. All right. Well, EAA, the air show at Oshkosh, Air Venture, another great show in the books. And just a quick reminder, if you didn't get a chance to see Mark Koren in Building C at EAA, then you should be reminded, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is, this is a system that allows you to visually see how much lift your wing is producing, which saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info. Wherever you go, the night sounds are slightly different. So if you are from Minnesota and you are listening to these wonderful night sounds, and this isn't fake, this is real night sounds recorded August 2021 in this state park. And if I recorded the night sounds in the National Forest, the Allegheny National Forest, where I was the last couple of nights, they would be different night sounds. And if I recorded night sounds in Minnesota or Wisconsin, they would be different night sounds, and so on. Deep south, especially in the high summer, the sounds are very different. And it's also interesting to me that the sounds change. Early summer is different from sort of the peak as July 4th. And I did a July 4th sound kind of podcast, and you could hear the fireworks and you could hear the action on the lake that day. And it was very busy because that's just, to me, that's just the peak of summer. And now it is later, and it's really interesting because when I left the campground at Allegheny National Forest this morning, it had stormed last night, stormed here today. So we've been dealing with these storms that have been sort of rolling up in my path in various parts of the east and northeast, and now the central northeast. So we're just northeast of Toledo and just south, slightly southeast of Cleveland. So these storms have kind of been around the north central and the east coast. And they're just big, heavy summer storms that blow up rather quickly. But it's a different feel from summer storms in the Midwest that I've grown up with. Chicago, Minnesota, Wisconsin. So, kind of looking forward to getting west But I note how different it is summer at different stages. So yeah, leaves already starting to change in Allegheny, U.S. forest. That was fantastic, a great camp last couple of days. And now I'm here, and what I like about state parks, I thought what I would do is talk a little bit about state parks versus U.S. national forests and national parks. Most of the time, state parks obviously have some extra added facilities. So there are showers here, and they have a lot of electric sites. So I splurged, since I haven't been really spending any money for camping the last couple of weeks, and I got myself an electrified site. So I love the electrified site because what it enables me to do, and I've often talked about the battery in mobile podcast command. So because it's an ambulance, it doesn't have deep cycle batteries like most RVs. It has three starting batteries, basically. So what you have is an arrangement, as my friend Steve Steiner so aptly put, you basically have one giant battery. I just have one giant 12-volt battery, which takes quite some time to run down. But when it runs down, and it did finally run down when I was in Massachusetts, because I was parked in the parking lot at my friend's apartment for almost 4 days, and I would just run it 15 or 20 minutes. So it never really got a full charge. You kind of got to take it out on the road. Or you come to a state park and you just plug in for 3 days. So the thing, you know, and you can run all your systems. So I got the fans on, I've got all the lights on, you know, I've got the communications equipment on, and I'm charging everything. You know, I'm charging my little tiny vacuum cleaner. I'm charging my phones. I'm charging my flashlight. So it's kind of fun to come to these state parks where they have all these facilities, as opposed to basically boondocking, or the new term is mooch docking, where you just parked at somebody's house using their electricity or their parking lot. And state parks have different kinds of amenities, but they're different. So they feel more urban to me. You know, the national forests and the national parks, especially if they're remote, you're way out, and you definitely feel that sense of being way out. When you're at the state park, you feel that you're kind of in a community. You know, I'm across from for some reason, I just randomly picked a site, and I'm right across from the bathrooms, and they have one of those big street lights over the bathroom, so that's not very much fun. And then I've been walking up and down the lane here, and some of the other sites are real dark, but mine is real deep. This one is real deep, and it goes right to the lake. So I'm sitting at a picnic table, which is right like 10 feet away from the lake, which is actually very high. So you can't bring the vehicle back here. And now I know why, because the water's kind of seeping into this region because it's been raining. But I'm literally on the lakeshore. And that's the value of this site. So when I'm way back here in the lakeshore, I'm back in the forest and I'm on the lakeshore. So it's kind of cool. And this is a big lake. I don't know anything about it other than I'm here, you know? And that's kind of cool. So I was thinking, as I walked down the lane just recently, kind of scoping out the park, and it's midnight, so I don't have my shoes on, and I try to walk as quietly as I can just to kind of scope it out and walk around a little bit while I was doing some other stuff, thinking about some other stuff. And the thought came to me, all the headlines have to do with the return of the pandemic and the Delta variant. You have a lot of uncertainty and fear and concern among the people who become uncertain and fearful in this kind of a situation. And it seems to me that a lot of them are vaccinated and they're worried about these viruses punching through the vaccines, which they are doing, but it appears that they don't get as ill. But I noticed today that, so when I first headed east, nobody was wearing any masks. You went into a Walmart, no masks. You went into a grocery store, you went into a deli, you know, no mask. And especially like when I was in Bar Harbor, just this incredible, almost euphoric sense of going out and seeing things and being able to be with people again and being in these environments. And it, literally, as I have driven back west in the last few days, I am noticing now the return of that pall of uncertainty and fear. And I'm starting to see articles analyzing it. One of the things that I saw today, which I thought was very interesting, and I don't talk about the politics of it because what's the point? That's my standard line. But I do talk about the psychology of it and the inner processes of it. One of the articles I saw today was about this sense that people have of they got through last year on quote-unquote reserve power. It feels like it's coming back and there's no more reserve power, which I think is nonsense, to be quite honest with you. We have unbelievable reserves of fortitude if we are able to rely on them. That's the most important thing. But you can kind of feel it. I went to a, what do they call those stores in Pittsburgh? The Eagle grocery stores. And everybody had masks on and they seemed real, you know, I don't know how they, it just was one of those days. Half raining, half sunny, really hot, and everybody had masks on again. The internal process that I'm going through is, I'm walking up and down the lane here, and I'm like, well, where am I? You know? Oh, that's right. I'm in Ohio, Eastern Ohio, on a late August night, hot, post-storm August night, clear skies, but you can still see lightning in various directions. And you can hear how incredible it sounds, because that's what it feels like. So it's important for me to geolocate mentally. And I thought to myself that the incredible amount of ground that I have covered, and it's hard to see, it's so interesting to me as a nomad, this concept of time is just fascinating. Some days I feel like so many days have gone by and it's getting late. And some days I look at the calendar and go, oh, it's only, you know, whatever the date is. It's just so interesting because time becomes this really weird, it has this elastic quality to it. And you will not feel that. So if you go and you just travel 3 weeks or 4 weeks at a time, you're not going to feel that elasticity of time until you realize it really doesn't matter where you go. You know, I don't need to be anywhere. I am kind of tacking towards South Dakota for a meeting on somewhere around the 15th of September. Gonna do some work, and that's gonna be great. But basically, aside from doing podcasts and posting them and doing my usual little bit of business day to day, I have no concept of what day it is, and I don't need to. So I was thinking as I was walking down the lane how incredible it has been that I have had this, and it's been great. You know, some trips are not great. This has been a great trip across eastern Indiana because I wanted to stay along the lakes and then up along Lake Erie first and then Ontario. I've told the story many times, and then over to Vermont with my nephew. And we cruised all over Vermont. He got back on a plane, and then I continued on to Maine all the way up to the top of Maine, jumping on one and coming down the coast to Bar Harbor, and then jumping on the freeway going down around Boston to the Providence area. And then we went around once I got to Providence. And then once I was in Providence, came across Massachusetts, which was spectacular. And then, of course, a little bit of New York. Came down to the Jamestown area and then cut down into Pennsylvania. So I got to see Watkins Glen and New York's Watkins Glen State Park, which I couldn't get into, but that area is just incredibly unique. So I've had the luck of having this incredible, really great summer trip. And I didn't want to come east, but I did, and I'm really glad that I did. Didn't want to come east, and I've had a fantastic experience. And after a while, it all kind of just rolls together into just kind of almost one dreamlike experience. It's been great. When the travel is tough, it doesn't feel that way. So then when I get a chance to just be alone and think, I'm like, wow, you know, look what I did. I covered a lot of ground in a relatively short period of time, this huge chunk of the United States, and now I'm coming back around. I don't even know which way I'm going. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just cruising in a general direction, and it's just great. So in the second half of the podcast, I want to talk about how, we're in this resurgence of a variant of COVID, which I don't even like talking about. I get the feeling that if you're in a local area, it affects you differently than if you're moving. And I think it has something to do also with this, what I call the elasticity of time that nomads feel, especially if you have nowhere to go and you're just cruising, you're just going in a particular direction. We're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. So you guys know I've talked about this company, Privacy Post, at privacypost.io. They're providing the communications capability that I've really had good luck with. And very quickly, I'm going to tell you a couple things real fast. So people say, well, what do you use it for? You know, what would I use it for if I bought, let's say, a fifth wheel and I headed out and I needed to do stuff? Well, almost all of us, if we're digital nomads or expats or whatever, we have to use Zoom or various other kinds of virtual communications platforms for conferencing and things. And I did a couple of Zooms this week using this device, the PepWave. And it actually worked very well. One of them was I was in a very remote spot in the Allegheny Woods, and at first the video was a little unstable. We got that squared away, and that turned out to be, I think, the other guy. And then we went straight to audio. That was no problem at all. And the next day, another one. The first one was about an hour and a half. The second one was about an hour, and that one included video, and there were no problems with the video at all. So the PepWave works great for Zooming, if you want to know. And privacypost.io is the company that has been helping me work with this. The only other thing I want to talk about is normally if you have an RV or a van, your antenna would be installed on the roof of your vehicle. Mine is in the vehicle right now. So we're going to put an antenna on top of the roof of Mobile Podcast Command in about a month. I just have to have it installed by one of those companies that does commercial vehicle and public safety installations because of the nature of the vehicle, which is it's still an ambulance, and there's wiring issues and things like that. So we're going to take out one of the old antennas that's up on top of the truck, and we're going to use that channel to put the PepWave antenna up. That should improve the reception. You know, and I don't want to make promises that aren't correct. If you don't have cell signals and you're out somewhere, you're not going to be able to get online. But if you can get one bar, that PepWave can take that and turn that into a potentially at least an audio capability. You can make calls and you can send text and data. And maybe even if you're lucky and you're in a really remote location, you can still do Zooms. I have no problem sending up data. I have uploaded podcasts, blogging, anything like that has not been an issue. So I just want to let everyone know about that. And the other thing about Privacy Post is that feature, the communications feature, will soon be provided free, basically, as an added incentive for people to take a look at what privacypost.io can do for you, you know, in terms of privacy in general. So anything I do on that device is behind a VPN. I'm completely anonymous. And don't even get me started about Google and Gmail and the fact that they can read all of your emails and look at all of your stuff. And they can also use all that data that you have from, you know, surfing the internet or whatever it is that you do. When you're behind the VPN in this box and it's managed by privacypost.io because privacy is in their company name, you're going to be completely secure in what you do. And this is the service they offer. So here's what I want you to do. Go to privacypost.io, look at what they offer. There's a whole smorgasbord of privacy capabilities and other tools to help you if you're an expat, to help you if you are a digital nomad, to help you if you're just out cruising and you're, you know, developing a business. This is a company you want to work with. privacypost.io. One of the things that I really like to talk about as far as nomading is concerned, you know, I love talking about communication tools, and as you have heard with the Privacy Post stuff that I've been doing, I love talking a little bit about the technology, but I'm not one of these RV guys that's going to tell you, you know, just exactly how to dump the Blackwater tank or what kind of patching you get when there's a leak in the roof or any of that stuff. If you have a problem with your RV, good luck. Take it to an RV repair place. You'll be all right. Or do whatever you do, because I'm not an authority on that stuff and I don't talk about it. What intrigues me and is new every time I have it, I have these experiences, which are, as I call them, internal processes. I think the last thing I said about this is that I was a little surprised, even though I knew, because I've always had that feeling when I traveled and when I drive, the meditative processes of travel, where at some point you stop mulling over things because there's nothing left to mull over, and then you really are meditating because you're just letting thoughts pass through and you're not holding on to them. You're just kind of doing what you do. And that happens to be moving. And the other thing I've been doing is I'll only go maybe a couple of 100 miles. I don't even think I drove 200 miles today. I think it was about 150 miles, maybe a little bit, maybe 175. And I'm going to stay here for 2 days. So what I'm trying to do is slow down the velocity of travel, because A, you save money that way, but B, it's forcing myself to say, hey, and that's why I call this just cruising, because why would you rush back across the country when there's no need to? You know, I don't think I'm going to go back to Minnesota and Wisconsin, which would be a natural thing to do, but I've been back and forth through there so many times, I really don't think I want to. So I'm trying to think, okay, where haven't I been, or what roads haven't I taken, and what can I see that I haven't seen? You know, those kinds of things. But the other thing I think it's interesting is, for me, you know, I it's part of my nature because of 20 years in talk radio, that I do stay informed. I don't talk about the news because I've chosen a path that takes me away from that. And the reason I did that was because I don't know what else I can offer. I certainly have my opinions. I'm sure that you have your opinions, whatever they are, good for you, and good for me. I don't feel the need to share those opinions anymore. But I do really stay on top of the news, and I do have reactions to the news, whether it is YouTube videos or reading news articles that show up in my feed or going out and searching for news and information to kind of keep abreast of what's going on in the world. Ooh, there was a lightning strike. But you don't hear it because it's way off in the distance. We used to call that heat lightning, but it's not heat lightning. It's just lightning over the horizon. Anyway. And so I'm aware of what's going on, whether it is the weather out west, which I'm sure I'm going to encounter, and I'll talk about it when I do, or the national situation that we're dealing with, of course, is this resurgence of the Delta variant, and thus the resurgence of COVID, the sense of feeling let down, the sense of disappointment that supposedly everyone feels because we thought it was over. Well, you know, I didn't, but, you know, some people thought we've licked it. But when you travel, you've got this perspective because you're hitting all these different places and you're seeing all these different things and people, and you're seeing people in their natural habitat, but you're not in the natural habitat. Your habitat, in my case, is the inside of an ambulance. You know, it's my little house. And other people, it might be a fifth wheel or whatever it's called, or a third wheel or whatever it is. I call it a third wheel, but it's, I think, fifth wheel. Or a Class A or a Class B or some old school bus or some other kind of crazy ramshackle vehicle. I love those. Or it's a van, you know. That's my realm, and my natural habitat is around this vehicle. And I think it's fascinating when you go into little towns and see people, and they're beautiful towns. I've seen some beautiful towns. I'm not going into big cities. And I've had conversations with other nomads about this, that you start feeling energy differently when you're out here. I've talked about hearing, and I heard it again in Allegheny National Forest, because it's way out. You don't hear it here. But when you get out into the middle of nowhere, you hear the resonance of the earth. At least I do. It's about 100 hertz. Very low buzz. Almost as though there's a generator running someplace. And you look around because you think there's a generator running someplace. And then you realize that is the resonance of the earth. And if you're near rocks, you really hear it. The other thing that's happening is you're passing through different climates, different geographies. Sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. You're going up and down mountains and hills. So one minute you got the heat on, and the next minute you got the AC on. One minute the windows are up because it's pouring down rain. The next minute they're down because it's 80, 90 degrees and super humid. And I love that feeling of driving down the highway with the windows down, you know, the AC off, just letting the wind blow in, especially when it's that hot, humid experience, or the sun's in your eyes, or it's in your, you know, it's behind you, or it's off to the side. And it's that experience of going through these different geographies and altitudes, and one minute you're you know, doing that thing with your ears to clear because of the pressure. Next minute you're coming back down. Most of the time I've been on back roads. So you're never going over 60, really, unless it's a two-lane road, you know, a four-lane separated, you know, national highway. Then you go 65. But I never even get to 70 on those state highways or U.S. highways. Most of the time it's between 45 and 50, 55. Because you're driving along and, you know, the speed limit's 55 and then suddenly it's 45. And then it's 35 and now you're in a town. So you have to slow down and speed up and slow down. So it's a whole range of speeds and everything, which is really interesting. Completely different from, interstate driving. You begin to feel energy differently when you are traveling, and especially if you're staying away from metro areas. And what's really interesting, so I'm not adverse to going through a metro area. I just don't want to. Well, when you are out here, in small towns and stopping at roadside rests where there isn't anyone, I would say that I'm fairly sensitive to perceived energy and always have been, but now there's a heightened awareness of energy. It's fascinating. That's an amazing internal process that happens when you are traveling and you don't have any commitments, and you don't have any place to be, and you don't necessarily have any needs. all I have to do is stop at a store every now and then and get some groceries, or stop and get fuel, or stop and go to the bathroom, basically, and find a place to sort of stay for the night, whether it's a Walmart parking lot or a truck stop. Got a truck stop in this week. Or one of these really great state parks. And it's an amazing experience. So I try to codify or to illuminate those experiences. And I guess the reason I'm talking about this is I don't feel like the COVID thing is touching me. I hear people talking about it. I hear people worrying about it. But I don't feel like it's touching me at all. I'm traveling. I'm doing stuff. I'm going from place to place, different places. I'm feeling a reserve of strength. I'm feeling a reserve of resolve and a full commitment to doing this and a full commitment to the belief that I'm doing exactly what I should be doing right now, which is doing this travel thing. And you could, it's just enveloping me and getting stronger and stronger every day. It's really interesting. I thought by now, after a year of doing this, I'll probably get tired of it and probably figure out something else, you know? And yet, I've been doing it now for at least 8 months, maybe almost nine, and certainly been thinking about it for more than a year. And certainly on the heels of doing it since 2013, 2014, driving all over the country 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks at a time, and kind of easing into permanent travel, as I have often discussed. And I just feel like there's so much that I have not seen and so much that I have not done that it's like I'm still a baby nomad. You know, I don't think I could stop right now. I don't think I could just go, I can't do this anymore, you know, because it's still so great to be able to be, you know, on tour and not have to encounter or feel rooted or feel that you have to defend a piece of land or feel that you're going to be trapped in your house again or any of those things. You read about these things, you see these stories, you think these, you draw conclusions based on headlines, whatever. And this isn't even one of those read between the lines lessons, right? You know, you need to read between the, well, you can't read between lines. You read headlines, you see things, these things have emotional impact, and you think things are happening a certain way, but, you know, they might not be. And different places, different customs. And I cannot emphasize how different regionally and even by state this country actually is. And that is another thing that takes me by surprise every time I see it and realize it, that physically, emotionally, vibrationally, all these places are different. It's fascinating to me. So that's kind of an update on what's going on. And I'm glad I just sat down and did it here. So now I guess I'm going to go back in and watch a little YouTube and sleep late. Wouldn't be a Bob Davis podcast if I didn't mention Cartridge World, the people that save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores on those expensive print cartridges. And they ask an important question, why pay more to print? Why? So you can qualify for a free printer if you have the right kind of business, and you can also qualify for free delivery. Cartridge World is serving the universe from Maple Grove. Call them from anywhere, 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that says, why pay more to print? I also have to mention that I want to thank Sandra Amiot for $25 just recently. It made a donation to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Scroll down to a little oval that says donate. Click it, and you can make a donation to me. It goes right in the diesel tank. I'm not getting rich off the donations, but you guys do help the travel. I appreciate likes and shares of the individual podcast, notifications on any social media, and also check out my feed at Instagram, because it's my favorite social media. I love Instagram. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for liking. And thanks for listening to Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 1011, 1011, live from Ohio on a hot August night.
The feeling of being alive while was jumping off the porch.